Good morning, everyone. Well, as you can imagine, I am not a pastor. I am not a biblical scholar, and I am no great I can't even say the word now. Thank you. But I am your brother, and I am your friend, and I love you dearly, and I believe that God has called me today to share with you what he has been sharing with me in my heart, and I am very excited to be up here. Before I get started, I'm just going to take a minute to pray, if you don't mind. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for the heart of this worship team that we worship you and we sang about your love as we talk about your love today. Lord, I just ask that you be ever present and that you work through me sharing your message, not mine. Lord, I just thank you for this body and I just ask that our hearts be open to what you have for us today. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you. And we do this in honor of your name. Amen. Okay. So there's a few things that I happen to... Is that really loud, or is it just me?
Perfect.
Okay. I discovered a few things this week as I was getting ready to do this. One is how severe my ADD really is. Anytime that you are putting something together, you have to pull pieces from here, there, and everywhere. So obviously God had me pulling from scriptures, and I was here, there, and everywhere. So that is one thing that I discovered about myself, that I needed to slow down and pull out the pieces exactly the way God wanted me to do that. So that was really interesting. And in the second thing that I realized really is just how deep God loves us. So, I wanted to talk specifically today about love and biblical love. There are three types of biblical love, and one of the things that I discovered here in the English language is there is only one word for love, and that is love. And we use that word to encompass everything, whether we are telling our friends we love them, whether we're telling our spouses we love them, or we just happen to say we love ice cream or pizza. We use the same word. But in the Greek text, they had three different types. The first type, you guys are really tall. I'm really short. I'm sorry. Let me just adjust this a little bit. So the first type is eros love. Now, eros love, defined as sensual or passionate love, and coming from the Greek word erotic. Philos love, defined as how we have affection for our family and friends that grows beyond a good feeling, becoming a mutual commitment. Now, we could spend some time talking about each eros and philos, but that's not where I'm going today. But I do want to say I did hear a great way of describing eros love and philos love, as eros love will help make a family and philos love will help keep the family. So I'll just leave that to your imaginations. But today I really want to focus on the third type of love. It's agape love. Now, agape love was defined as the love of God. And we're going to be talking about scripture 1 John 4, verse 7 through 9. I did not look that up, so I don't know where that is in your Bibles. But before we get into the actual scripture, I wanted to share this little part with you that we're going to come back to. So, many of you know, and many of you probably don't know, I spent about 6 years teaching in a prison. And one of the concepts that we worked with was a cognitive behavioral therapy, which is basically that your thoughts and your feelings combine for your actions, and out of those actions you get consequences, good or bad. And that's pretty straightforward. I mean, that's pretty much, everybody can understand that. But I'm going to come back to that towards the end, because God challenges that whole concept. And I'm going to show you why and how. But I want to talk about, we're going to talk about agape love. We have to talk about 1 John 4, verse 7 through 9. Now, the scripture starts off, beloved, and beloved meaning friends dearly loved by God. I love that. That just really spoke to me, that word, beloved. Friends dearly loved by God. Let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. I could end the sermon right there, because that is really it. God is love. But we need to talk about that, we need to understand that, and we need to learn how to apply that in our lives. So verse 9, in this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. There's a lot to unfold in that one scripture. But we're going to really focus on the one thing. The one attribute of God that needs to be completely understood is God is love. What was hard to wrap your head or my head around this week was the fact that God didn't invent love, because God is love. God wasn't love and will be love and is love now. No, God always is love. That in and of itself was a very mind-blowing concept to me, to think about we serve somebody who is love. He is the definition. It's his attribute. It's who God is. Jesus himself taught agape love is not based primarily on feelings, but on actions we choose with no expectation in return, reflecting the very heartbeat of God. And Jesus would go even deeper in saying, love your enemy and do good to them. So I took some time, and I always think about, the enemy and what the enemy tries to do. There was a point in which we had perfect communion with God. Back in the garden, we were created by God in his image. And what is God? God is love. So we were created and living alongside God in that love. And I just think about how absolutely amazing it was. And it wasn't until the enemy came by and convinced Eve and Adam to eat from the forbidden fruit, and it broke that. It allowed sin to enter the world, and it broke that love. But it didn't end there. Because God is love, what did God do? He fixed it. And I think about that often. God fixed that problem. And how did God, being love, fix that problem? Well, he sacrificed his own Son for us, so that we can fix that and we can live in that love with him forever. Because God is love and love conquers a multitude of sins, we will have the opportunity to live out in entirety with a God who is love, because he loved us first. I think about my son, and I think about the sacrifice God made. And I'm going to skip a little bit ahead here, but this just, God is love, God is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God so loved us that he sacrificed his Son for us. He so loved his Son who worshiped him that in that sacrifice he could be worshiped so that we could be saved, that we could live in his love and he could be worshiped. I don't know if anybody followed that, but ultimately, because God is love, the worship then belongs to him and him alone. So we look directly how God fixed the problem. If we have to look at Romans 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God fixed the problem. We worship a God who fixed the problem. We are called here on earth to do love. God has specifically defined what we are to do, and it's not based on your feelings. It's not even based on what you think. If we are trusting a God who loves us and we are obeying what he is commanding us to do, then we are to do love so that we can live in love with him forever. You know, I know that this world, he tells us all the time, in this world you will have problems. We do. We have cancer. We have this. We have all sorts of brokenness. We have wars about to come. We have all of these things. But yet it really doesn't matter, does it? Because we get to live with God forever in love. And it all goes away. So thinking, okay, that's pretty awesome. That's enough right there. Could end the sermon. But God calls us to be in action now. Matthew 37:39. The disciples are talking to Jesus, and Jesus replies, love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Didn't see in there where it says, when you think about it, or if you're feeling, you know, good about it, or I didn't notice God saying any of that. He's basically telling you to love your God. Love your neighbors. Love your enemies. If he left it to us, how many would want to love their enemies? I mean, it goes against everything that we really think and we are. You know, there's many people who have hurt you, who have wronged you, who have stolen from you. And yet God says, forgive them. Love them. That's not easy to do within ourselves, and frankly, we can't. And God knows that. So what did God do? God gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to walk alongside of us, to encourage us, to work through those thoughts and those feelings, and yet to do the work. 1 Corinthians 13, I think everybody knows this. This is one of the most common Christian scriptures. But it's a list of what to do with love. not being a feeling, not being a thought. It is love is patient. Love is kind. Does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's a laundry list. That's a big list. But yet, we are to love God in this way, we are to love our neighbors in this way, and we are to love our enemies in this way. And we do so, why? Because Christ loved us first. We will have an opportunity to live forever with God in that love. And he gives us the opportunity right now to participate in that with the Holy Spirit so that others may join us as well. That we can share the good news about who God is. And who is God? God is love. I think this is hard because we live in such a broken world. So many things have happened to us. So many things go against what we are called to do, what we are called to believe. Remember earlier I was talking about the cognitive behavioral diagram. It was easier when I was a teacher because I would have a giant whiteboard and I could write stuff down and connect it. It was much easier to do than I think this. But if our thoughts and our feelings combine for an action and give us a consequence, and God says, well, okay, but despite how you think, despite how you feel, this is what I want you to do. What I believe happens in this moment is, despite what we're thinking and we're feeling, if we are to do what God calls us to do, he changes our hearts, he changes the way we think, he changes the way we feel, and it allows us to love in a way that is not of this earth. We are not of this world. We were not meant to be without love. We were not meant to be in this sin. And that we will not have to live like this forever. Because we have a God who loves us, who sacrificed his own son for you. Every drop of blood that was shed was a droplet for you and for me. I believe, like in James, when he says, take every thought captive, this is exactly why we have to learn to think the way that God thinks. We have to learn how to feel the way God feels. And the only way we can do that is not of ourselves, but with the Holy Spirit and God himself teaching us. That's why this book, studying, learning, growing, encouraging each other, is so important. Because we forget this. We forget that we were made to be in love. Like I said earlier, I'm not some sort of biblical scholar. But I love how God has brought us together today. We look at the worship. And yes, it was done on purpose, and I believe it was inspired by God to sing about his love. He ties this body together. He encourages this body. He allows the gifts to operate in this body because he loves us. So we worship him, we thank him, we teach of his words, his lessons, his love. And then we were supposed to take this and do. And I want to encourage all of you to continue that fight, continue to do. I was talking to Pastor Jeremy this morning. We're not always going to see the benefits of this. We're just not. We don't know where and when the seeds are planted, what's going to happen. God doesn't always share that with us, but he still says, do it. So I just wanted to encourage you today that God's love is real. God is love. God wants us to be with him forever in his love. You know, we think about the sacrifice of Christ, and we celebrate communion every week so that we can remember the ultimate sacrifice in love for you. I can't even begin to fathom sacrificing my own son, my own child. It's a concept that doesn't register very well, I think, with us. But we can rejoice because that brokenness that we experienced in the garden is fixed. And Christ being of God, we thank God for Jesus and Jesus' sacrifice to worship God, to love us. It's a circle that just doesn't make sense. But Jesus gives us the opportunity every week to come and remember that sacrifice. Remember that love. Remember that every drop of blood was shed for each of us individually that we can live with him in his love. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to come up today and share this message. I just pray that in the heart of hearts that you can recognize in your own lives where you need to do, where you need to love, where you need to forgive, where you need maybe just to smile. I just thank you. I thank God this day that you continue to love us, you continue to teach us, because you have called us to you forever. And we are grateful. And whether we understand our own thoughts, our own feelings, that we can look to you to do love because you ultimately are love. And Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the communion table and the representation of what that is and what that does for us individually. And Lord, I just lift up this time of communion to you in worship and thankfulness and gratefulness. And in humbleness, Lord, I do this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I do want to share one quick story before we get to communion. Ooh, that was loud, sorry. So I work for a safety shoe company, most of you know. I manage one down in Connecticut, and we often take returns. A lot of times there's nothing wrong with them. There's just nothing we can't sell them as new. So we basically write them off and throw them away. I can't do that. I can't possibly see throwing a really good pair of work boots away that somebody may need. But in 4 years, I've never found a good place to donate them to. And I've been able to give them away to different places, but it's never been, I've always just prayed that, you know, God bring the right person at the right time. So as I was putting a box together this past Monday, I was just very casually praying again, just saying, you know, God, I really would love to give these to somebody who needs them. You know, I just kept about my day. It was a really quick, simple prayer. And I spent the week and in and out of scriptures and working and thinking and praying and understanding. And on Friday at 4:50 in my office, the phone rings. 4:50 on a Friday, I leave at 5 o'clock. I really wasn't going to get that phone call. But I was like, all right. So I grab the phone, I pick it up, and she says, "Hi, my name's Carolyn. I'm from the Agape House." And I was like, "Oh, hi, Carolyn. I bet you're looking for shoes." And she said, "I am. How did you know?" And I just started laughing. I'm like, because that's how good God is. So God answered a prayer. He confirmed agape love, which he does over and over again for us. And it closed out a week that was a very difficult, hard week. And it just, again, God confirmed agape love for me is real. So thank you for letting me share. I love you all. You guys are all my brothers and sisters. I love looking out and just seeing you. Thank you.